Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including God's Guidance, A Slow and Certain Light. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today, to my great delight, with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Many of my listeners have heard Valerie, and many have written to tell me how much they've enjoyed hearing from her. Valerie, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
And tell us how many children you have.
We have 7, and we're expecting number 8.
Well, you know, that just sort of blows my mind, and I'm very grateful for the gifts and the heritage that the Lord has given to Valerie and her husband, Walt Shepherd. I'm in California right now with them. Walt is the pastor of the Aliso Creek Presbyterian Church in Aliso Viejo, and they live in Mission Viejo. I have a letter here, Val, from a lady who says, "How can any career compare with my children rising up to bless me? What could be a greater reward than for the Lord to say to me, 'Well done, my good and faithful servant'? I used to compare myself much with other mothers, but with wisdom from Him, for which I pray daily, it has become increasingly clear to me what I must do. As a result, our family is becoming less and less like most families around us. We're even considered odd, but I don't care. I know I'm in His will. Yes, it is very difficult, but I can say being home with my children has brought me unspeakable joy." Would you agree with that letter, Val?
Yes, I would. I really do love staying home with my children. I wouldn't choose anything else.
She says, "Elizabeth, encourage stay-at-home moms to take Paul's exhortations and the rest of his word to heart and press on." And I'm sure that many of you know that one of my primary objects in doing this program, Gateway to Joy, is to encourage the parents, both mothers and fathers, of young children to take their cues not from the world, or even, unfortunately, from what many churches are telling us these days, but from God's Word. And I do thank God for the churches that are encouraging and doing all they can to strengthen families. Mm-hmm. Well, Val, tell us about your family right now. What are you doing?
Well, our oldest one, Walter, is in, he is a sophomore in high school, in a public high school. Our next one is Elizabeth. She's 13, and she and Christiana, who's 11, and Jim, who's 8, and Colleen, who is 6, are being homeschooled. And then we have a 4-year-old, Evangeline, and a 1-year-old named Theo. And I keep busy at home.
Could you tell us what you mean by busy? Can you take us through an ordinary day?
An ordinary day would be where I get up around 5 or 5:30 and try to have some quiet time and maybe even a walk. Sometimes no walk is possible. Sometimes a walk with my husband is possible, which is a delight. And then I start working in the kitchen, usually before the children are up, about 6:45 or 7 o'clock, and I try to get everybody up by 7 o'clock. Usually the baby is up by 7 o'clock on his own, and then I have to wake everybody else up, although my oldest one does use an alarm clock. We have breakfast at 7:30. My oldest one helps me get the breakfast on the table. And then, when I'm in the kitchen, I'm getting my oldest one's lunch ready and my youngest one's breakfast ready, besides getting the rest of the breakfast on the table. We have breakfast at 7:30, and then after that, we do chores, cleaning up. I do the breakfast dishes because my other daughters do the lunch and the supper dishes. And there's always some sweeping and bathrooms to clean. And we try to start school right about 9 o'clock. And usually by that time I have put the baby down for a nap. If not, then he may go down about 9:30 or 10. first thing we do is we read the Bible together, and the question time after the Bible reading is their favorite time, really, Jim and Colleen and Christiana's favorite time. Then after that, we pray together, and sometimes I let all of them pray, and sometimes I just pray for the day. And I can think of most often the prayer that we're praying, and that I'm praying, is, Lord, help these children to learn what they should learn, and help them to respect each other and to respect me, and help me to have wisdom and patience in teaching them this morning. Then we do our schoolwork, and usually the older girls do their math first, and I work with the younger ones on their phonics and their math. And then I have had times when the older ones take a 20-minute break and they help the younger ones while I work with Jim, or I work with one of them in particular. We work on school until about 11:30. We're finished. And then if the older girls aren't finished with their schoolwork, they're working right up until lunch. Then I get lunch on the table. We eat lunch about 12:15, 12:30. After lunch, Christiana cleans up the kitchen, and it's quiet time, which means that I go up to my room, and Evangeline, Colleen, and Jim have to have places where they are for about an hour. And some days I make Evangeline take a nap with me, depending on how much sleep she's had the night before. Other days I let her play by herself. And they're usually an argument about who's going to get what room. Usually I say, okay, it's quiet time, and Jim and Colleen will right away say, I'm in the den. And so I often set the timer for the youngest one to know, so that she'll know when quiet time's over. And then I go to my room, and I may lie down with her if she's lying down, and I usually take about a 15-minute nap. And then I've always got clutter and paperwork to do in my room, and the older girls are reading to themselves or writing something that they have to write for their journal. The rest of the afternoon for the younger ones is free. The older ones have to practice their piano. Sometimes there's babysitting. Sometimes there are errands to run. And usually by 4:30 or so, I'm getting supper ready. And my oldest son comes home from school about 3. And then he goes to swim practice. And sometimes I'm taking him to swim practice. Sometimes my husband takes him to swim practice. And supper is usually about 6 o'clock after Walter comes home from swimming. And then the evening is trying to get the youngest ones in bed as quickly as possible. And the older ones always hope that I'm going to sit down with them and either read a book with them or just talk. They love to have tea and talk. And I'm talking about Elizabeth and Christiana. Walter usually has homework that keeps him up till 10 or 10:30. And that's about a normal day for us, I think.
Now, I have a letter specifically asking, Val, what steps did you take to get the children to sit an hour each day quietly alone? Is it possible to have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old do this without fighting?
Well, naturally, in their human flesh, they will fight. But I think I began with when the youngest one took a nap, the ones that didn't take naps, I just spoke to them as firmly as I could that they had to stay in their room or in whatever designated area it was until the timer rang. They were not to come out for any reason unless they had to go to the bathroom. They didn't need to come to me for anything unless it was an emergency, and then they would always think of all kinds of things that they would think were emergencies, and I would say, no, there isn't any emergency unless somebody's bleeding, but you'll be by yourself, so nobody's going to get hurt. And generally, they do play quite well by themselves. My 8-year-old loves to read if he's got a good book to read, and he will sit the whole time and read. And my 2 girls, 6 and 4 years old, they do play quietly by themselves. In fact, the 6-year-old will even beg to have her room to herself if Theo doesn't have to take a nap, because she likes to just putter around in her room and do things. She likes to arrange things on her desk, and she likes to play with her little horses, and so.
So the idea, Val, if I understand you correctly, is that these children really need a little quiet and solitude, and so they're not really supposed to be playing together during this quiet time. Is that right? Or
that's right. That's right. And I do get inconsistent, and there are days when I let them play together. I may say, if you play quietly together, you may play. But generally, I think quiet time is wonderful. It's good, of course, for me, but it's also good for them to learn that they have to entertain themselves. And I think children need to learn that. I love to see my older ones just sitting and reading for an hour. I think they need to do that. And the younger ones who have not learned to read yet, I think it's wonderful to see them using their imaginations.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I've passed it on to many other mothers. I've been talking with my daughter, Valerie. You can hear more about how she manages a family of 7 children so far, and number 8 on the way. I do want to emphasize that neither Valerie nor I imagines that we have the last word. Valerie is the first to assure me that things do not run totally smoothly. And she will tell us about some of her problems and struggles with these principles that we both agree with. But thanks ever so much, Val, for being with us and come back again.
Thank you.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.